You will know when you are in a bad space if your joy goes. If your joy is limited, if your joy is... You know what you should do? Is maybe you should declare a fast. Maybe you should set time apart and worship the Lord. Maybe you should get into scripture and stop thinking about your stuff. Because here's what your stuff will do. It will just look massive. Your God is greater. There's nothing this side of heaven that's greater than He is. So why do we fall apart so easily? Oh, none of you. Okay, no, that's cool. No, that's fine. No, that's only me. Yeah. So we've been on leave for the last 2 weeks, which was amazing. And thank you to the elders and the leaders for allowing us to take a bit of a break. And as we were worshiping and the songs we were singing, we were there in Hermanus in Meerenbosch, and walking on the beach there with the mountains and the mist and the sunrise and the so many beautiful things. And you have to stand in awe of who our God is. And this worship this morning to me had new life, in the sense of I was walking in that this week, in how there was just this beauty. You know, that little house that we stayed in is in the middle of milkwood trees. And the noisiest noise that you get there is the birds singing. You know, that you have to suffer like that on a daily basis. It's terrible. You know, I suffered a lot. But it's good to be back. And this morning I was not supposed to bring the word, but Cheslin has a bit of a family emergency which he needed to respond to. So apparently scripture says something about be ready in season and out of season. So this is, there's no PowerPoint this morning, okay, because this is fresh off the tablet. Lord has given me the tablet, He's written on it, I'm good to go. So I need you to turn to Matthew 6. So you're all going to have to turn. If it's not a turn, it's a Bible app or something. Meet me in Matthew 6. And like we announced earlier, we're looking at, or next week, Sunday, we're kicking off the global prayer and fast, where all the shofars together are praying together and seeking God's face. And it's going to be an awesome time. We're going to meet together in the zones. So if you're not in a small group, I want to encourage you to get connected. So the zones are going to meet on the Monday. On the Tuesday, we're going to meet here. And on the Wednesday, we're going to meet in the small groups and then break the fast together in that time. Now, can I just encourage you with regards to that, is this is a global time together. This is not just us fasting on our own. This is us as a spiritual family seeking God's face. We have our 30-year convergence conference happening later in October. We're going to pray for that, because we trust in God for fifth gear. All right, we trust in God to release even more. And if I look at the speakers that's lined up, it's going to be an incredible conference. Yeah. So as I was preparing this morning for the service, I read this portion of scripture, and I'm gonna go with it. And it's interesting that it lines up with the fast that's coming. So if we read in Matthew 6 verse 5, he says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites." Everybody say hypocrites. Now there's a problem with a hypocrite, in that he's one way this, you know, when you see him, but he's another way in when you don't see him. And here's the thing, which Jesus is instructing us here, is when we come to God in prayer, is to be real. You know, we have, most of us here have grown up in a religious environment where you have been taught many things. And sometimes we come before God in our religion. And that's not what He wants. He doesn't want us to come with nice rhymes and stuff, as we'll see. Now, He wants to come before Him genuinely, as we are. Because here's the truth: He sees us as we are. He sees every little thing of your life. There's nothing that you can hide from. No fig leaves or anything that you can put on can hide you from God. So He sees you. He's the God who sees. Tap someone and says, He's the God who sees me. And then he continues, he says, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. You know, let us not see God's face in such a way to impress people. In church, sometimes it can become so easily our actions to impress someone. Let's not do that. Let's see God's face with sincerity. He says in verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who sees in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. So do you have a place with a door? Even if it's the toilet. If there's no one else, if your house is big and it's uncomfortable, find a space where you can either in reality close the door or where you can be private with the Lord. And God is instructing us and encouraging us into that space where it's just me and you. Not me and you, me and Him. All right, so me and you can pray together a lot, which we're going to do next week. All right? But God is inviting you into that place where it's just you and Him. Now, let's be honest with one another. I think sometimes the busyness of life hinders that one. You know, getting up early or whatever to do that is lots of effort or whatever. But God is inviting you into that space where you can close the door. Here's the thing. If I'm going to just close the door and spend time with Him once a month, once a year, how intimate do you think my relationship with Him will be? As married couples, you often have to close the door to be intimate. And that's a good place to be. May your doors be closed a lot. But you see, God wants to meet you in that secret place. And what you journey with Him, what you pray through, what you wrestle with Him becomes known in the open. As He wants it to do. Don't tell Him what He needs to do. Allow God to be God in your life. Do the things that you're praying for, that you're trusting through, the breakthroughs. Don't tell Him how He should fix it. Allow Him to be God. You know, I've become so aware in my own life how sometimes I want to tell Him how it should happen. Because I'm clever now. And I can now see the situation and see how this can unfold, and then it's God, you know, you need to bring this in place and then speak to that person and make things happen. And I've learned to kind of just back off and go, Father, but I trust you just to do stuff in my life. It's that place where you release the cords and you go, Father, that song, Jesus Take the Wheel. Have you heard that song? Okay, maybe you should let Him take the wheel. Okay, verse 7, it says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. Now, I've tested this with Lorette. If I use the same word, she gets bored. If I say, if I just come to her and I say, Lorette, my love, Lorette, I love you, Lorette. You are so awesome, Lorette, you know. She goes, what's wrong with you, buddy? Have you swallowed something? Do you need help? And I think sometimes we come to God and we go in repetitive mode because we think that when we repeat things 20 times, He will now hear. And I can sort of twist His arm to do stuff for me because I've repeated it 6 times in my prayer. And He's saying, yeah, please don't come like that. You know, sometimes I smile when we speak to God and how we address God with His name in different forms. And I go like, so what you're saying is Kubus, Kubus, Kubus. Glyco Kubus. And I'm like, no, just say my name once, please. I know you're speaking to me. When we come to God, and check yourself, you know, what sort of have become little habits that you've picked up, I don't know where, because sometimes we hear someone pray and we think, whoa, that's an awesome prayer, but he's repeated God's name 3 times in the beginning of the sentence, and that now brings breakthrough. And that's now it is. This is the sincerity, this genuineness, when I come before him, not as an hypocrite, not with lots of words, not with fancy stuff, but just as I am, with a realness in my heart and a desperateness to hear him and to seek him, that's when he answers me. With that trust and that faithfulness to wait upon him so that my strength can be renewed. I have one problem with waiting. It's the waiting. I can do a lot in waiting, but it needs to be short, because when the waiting is long, I have an issue with waiting. You see, that scripture didn't say those who wait upon the Lord will renew this. You know how long you can sometimes wait upon the Lord? But we want to go, Lord, I want the microwave prayer. Thank you, Father. I got my wife. No, 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 no. If only. You can pray that for my sons. No, I'm joking. I'm going to get a hiding for this now afterwards. It's okay. I'll just take it like a man. Be strong. Okay. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Sure. Again, that realness. You know, when you go to your father when you were younger and you said, Father, I need this. I'm sure he got irritated if you asked the same thing a lot of times. But sometimes a father hears you the first time. And he wants to speak to you. He wants to supply in all your needs. Okay? Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. That, to me, is awesome. So he knows what I want to ask. So I don't need to convince him. He already knows, but he needs me to come there in faith and absolute dependency to say, Father, I need whatever. You know, and sometimes I come before him and I just pray in a tongue and I trust him because I need him to intervene. And I do not have a plan. All I see is Jericho. I just see walls and gemors, and this is not going to work. Or maybe you're not even at Jericho yet. Maybe you're on the other side of the river and you're thinking, how am I going to cross this? And he goes, listen, just wait upon me. Just seek me. Because I know what you need, and I'm going to meet you wherever you are. There's that place when we come before him in that way where we have to recognize and realize that he is God. And that I cannot do this. And you know, there's that place where I have to lay down my life in absolute surrender to him, saying, Father, do whatever you like. That's why scripture says, you know, can the clay fight with the potter? Have you ever walked into a potter's room, if you've ever done that, and the clay goes, no, no, I don't want to be that. I want to be a mug, not a pot. They put mud in there and a flower. I hate flowers. I don't want to be a flower pot. I want to carry some wine. I've never seen that. Not that I've been in a... But I can only imagine the potter's surprise if this piece of clay goes, excuse me. I don't like what you're making. You know, or maybe the clay is in that stage where he has to still throw it. Pah! And then he picks it up and he molds it and goes, pah! You know why it does that? It's to get all the air out. Because if there's air in clay, it apparently cracks easily. Maybe you're in the pah stage. But none of you want to hear that. You don't want to be... Everybody say, pa! But then the beautiful thing starts where he starts forming that clay, where his hands gently start forming it. You know, and sometimes he sees something there that is a problem and then he starts over. You see, when we allow God to be God, we need to trust him that he will form us in the way that he wants us to be. He knows what we need. He also sees the enemy coming against you, shouting at you from the wall, calling you all sorts of names, making you think that who you are actually not. He sees that, and then he goes, focus. Done that a lot to them. Keep your eyes on me. Don't focus. You know when they stand on that high thing and they jump? I will catch you. I've got you. And he goes this, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven. Everybody say, our Father. You see, he's not just my Father. He's our Father. And if he's our Father, then we are family. Just look at someone and go, how's it, brother or sister? But maybe let that sink in. Just in the matter of God's heart for his family, his spiritual family. He's our Father. And then he goes, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now that is very easy to pray. But you see, when God's will is done, when his kingdom comes, when his rule and his reign comes in my life, I must be careful that I do not resist it. When he wants to do things his way because he is the king, I need to allow him to do that. But you see, I also know that when his kingdom comes, when his will is done, I can expect great things. Good things. That this journey that he's taking me on will lead to a place where his kingdom has come. In whatever area I face, in whatever thing I'm doing, his kingdom will come there. And I need to, as I come before him as our Father, trust him that he's got my best at heart. I think sometimes we blame him for the stuff that the devil is doing in our lives. You see, he says all things work with together for the good. So even if the enemy comes in, he will let those things turn around. And I've seen that happen in my life. Where I'm not in a place where I'm necessarily enjoying the journey, but I see my God at work. That thing about hindsight is 20/20. Love it. At least to get there at some point. Where I can turn around and see, wow, look at the hand of God here in my life. But when I'm in it, seldom I see it. I just have to keep trusting that he says, he knows the things that I have need for. He knows the things that I have need for. He wants to meet me right there in that place. Let your will be done on earth. Now ponder on that. Let his will be done right now. If we're going to pray next week, as you're praying through this week, Lord, let your will be done. You are essentially saying is not my will, not my plans, not my thoughts, but your will. In other words, God, guide me to the things that is your will, that I will walk in those things. You know, and even that, if when we are on scripture, when we read scripture, when we meditate scripture, when we proclaim scripture, we see the will of God. We start getting a glimpse of what he wants to do. And scripture sometimes leads us to greater level revelations in the spirit to understand what God is doing in the season. Do not allow your situations and the things around you to mock you and to make this God who can do anything less in your life. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, None of you are planners, right? Who's got a budget? Somebody rest van hulle help. In any case, whose budget works? Okay. Those that budgets works, we'll line you up. You can pray for the rest of us afterwards. So that, you know, I love this because give us this day our daily bread tells me that there's a daily dependence on Him for what I need today. Sometimes our biggest struggle is not with today. We become fearful of what tomorrow or the end of the month, whatever holds. And tomorrow and the day after and the day after and the day after and the day after freaks us out. But you see, when He gives us our daily bread, you know, Scripture says that do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough of its own worries. Trust me right now. If I take care of the lilies of the field and I sort out a lot of stuff, you know, I'm God. Just trust me. God, give me what I need today. When I had my business years ago, I'm a professional procrastinator. Confessing. I used to be worse. But I used to, when calls come in, here at about 3 in the afternoon, I start thinking, I'm tired. I've not had enough. I'm going to bump this one over to tomorrow. I'm not going to do it today because it's not so serious. The client can wait. So I'll phone them and go, listen, I'll pitch tomorrow. I'm not going to come today. And then one morning in my quiet time, God says to me, how do you want me to bless you if you don't do what I give you to do today? You always pray for more work, but then I give you work and you don't do it. You pass it on to tomorrow. Why do you do that? And I went, oops. He says, listen, what I give you today, do it. Don't leave it for tomorrow. Don't push over to tomorrow what I've given you today to do. And are we not so easily to do that? No, none of you. But I certainly were quick to push things over. And what I saw was when I did everything, I used to pray this prayer, Father, order my day. A lot when I had my business, because God showed Himself incredible in my business, how I would start the day overwhelmed, thinking, how am I going to get through this day? And then, you know, this client will phone and say, listen, not going to be there today. Can you see me tomorrow? And God started structuring my day incredibly. Now, the stuff that I needed to do for today was there. The people He wanted me to encounter and meet with and speak with, He put on my list for today. And I started becoming relaxed in the midst of a lot of pressure. Because listen, burst pipes and geysers going and stuff, block sewages and stuff, people can get quite passionate about their problem. So you feel the tendency just to rush the whole time. You know, I kept the speeding limit, because that to me was a value. Even though I was late, I will rather phone and say, listen, I'm coming. But trust God to give you your daily bread, to order your day, your week, to allow Him into your life so that when you pray this, He takes control of the things. Not your boss. He's still under God's authority. You know, deadlines can freak us out. Then you pray, Father, help me in this day to do everything that I can. Maybe let me just say this. You know, there was times that I sat with a plumbing problem and things didn't work, and 3 hours later it's not right. And then I pray suddenly, and then a half an hour later I walk out there and I go like, why didn't you pray when you started? It wasn't to make more money. I just had to fail to pray. Okay. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I think we need to be careful that in our walk with people, that we don't hold things back, that we don't not forgive them, not love on them. You see, we serve a God of love, who is love. That's His Spirit dwells within us. And the world will know that we are His disciples in the way that we love one another. You see, because He's our Father. So we need to love one another. We need to forgive people. Let it go. Release them. Do not hold on to it. Go speak to them. Sort it out. Don't let the day set, sun set, if you have issues. Don't come with your gift to the altar. Scripture says, when you get there and you realize someone else has something against you, go sort it out. Let's forgive one another. Let's trust God that as we forgive them, we will be forgiven. Let it go. There's a lot of freedom in letting stuff go. Okay? And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. See, I think sometimes temptation comes our way and we're the suckers. Possibly because we haven't been in prayer enough and scripture enough and so on. Or maybe it's just our flesh because we like doing something and then the devil can lead us astray. And we need to be wake up. We need to be vigilant. We need to be in prayer. We need to be in scripture to discern when the enemy is coming against us. Those temptations that want to lead you away from God, those temptations, those situations that want to cause you to pull back from Him, don't allow the enemy to bring those things. You see, because it's not God who leads you into temptation. It's the enemy. Fortunately, Scripture says that when that temptation comes, He gives us the way out. So you are not stuck. You can receive what God has for you. So Lord, deliver us from the evil one. Set us free. You know, the more I'm with Him, the more I'm with my Father, the more I'm in that room behind the door, the more intimate I am with Him, I think the devil cannot touch you that much. But it's when I'm on my own, you know, trying to fight everything off. And then I hit the deck and I go, Lord, but where were you? And I says, I was here in the room. Where were you? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And we sang this a lot this morning. The power and the glory of God. The power and the glory of God. His kingdom. When His kingdom is upon us and His kingdom comes in us, that power and that glory is released upon our lives. You see, you are a powerful person in Christ. You are anointed by the Spirit of God to shift stuff, to make an impact in this world, in people's lives. When His kingdom comes into your life and you walk in it, you and I walk in it, we will see great and mighty things do. You know, I think of the prophetic words that that we've received, that I've personally received, and I'm going, Father, yes. Can we step into that? Can we see everything that you are prophesying, that you are speaking over our lives, that we will see it, we will receive it, that we will walk in it, that the kingdom of God will come? The answer to this world is Jesus. The answer to this world is His kingdom come. I sincerely believe that the problem that we face with poverty, it starts with the gospel. Where people receive Jesus Christ, we as a community start pulling together. Not because there's gain, but because we are ministering by the Spirit of the Lord and advancing His kingdom into every sphere of life. There's so many issues that are solved when His kingdom comes. And we need to allow His kingdom to come in our hearts, our lives, our minds, our relationships, every part, our finances, our families. Let His kingdom come. Because then we'll see His power. And then we'll see His glory. Forever. So pots. Don't rebel. against the potter. Do not allow the enemy to kick you down any longer. You need to get up. You need to stand. And having done all, stand. You see, we're looking down the second half of this year. I don't know how the first half of this year was for you. But I am expectant for great things. The first half was kind of just a warm-up. The second half is full. It's loaded. I can see my father sitting there ready to do stuff. Because when I get distracted, then he goes, "Ah, Kobus." So can we not be like the hypocrites? Can we be like those that when we pray this prayer, then when we seek His face, we will see His kingdom come, His glory and His power? You are an agent of God, a son and a daughter anointed. Maybe we should just remind ourselves who we are and the devil who he is. Because you see, he is a defeated foe. We know his end in the pit. We're going to spend eternity with God. Let's stand as we close this morning.